I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. What a joy it is each week to be able to share with you the Word of God. And it is a good life. Now in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." And then in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, and what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation or behavior and godliness." Christians today are to understand certain things about being faithful to the Lord. The reward of the Christian will be based on his faithfulness. Every Christian is required to be faithful. And let me quickly add, to be faithful, not to be saved, but because they are saved and on their way to heaven. Well, I'm glad you joined me today, and let me invite you to look at our website, lrwm.org. On the website, you'll be able to download a transcript of this program and others of It's a Good Life. You can also put a request there on our website, and you can request a copy of the transcripts, and I will be glad to send those to you free of charge. Now, I thank the Lord today for Bible transcripts, that that ministry is supplying these transcripts. You can go to that website, BibleTranscripts.com, and you can view their website there. Thank God for a ministry that promotes and stands upon the Word of God. Well, today, we want to look at the subject, are you faithful? First of all, we're to be diligent. Are you faithful in searching the Scriptures? In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so." Now, there are many people today, preachers included, who need to search the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." How often do I hear someone say, "Well, I just can't understand the word of God"? Well, there's something going on there. Either the person who tells me this has never been saved, never received Jesus as Savior, or they're not studying the word of God. The Bible teaches me that the Holy Spirit comes to live with me once I receive Jesus as my Savior. The Scriptures also tell me that that same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, will move within me and help me understand the Scriptures, will open up the Scriptures. Now, the more we study, the more we understand. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." In John chapter 5 and verse 39, it says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." There's many scriptures that speak of this. In Acts chapter 8, verses 30 and 31, it says, "And Philip ran thither to him," that's to the Ethiopian eunuch, he ran to him. Philip ran to this Ethiopian eunuch and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Had Philip not been exposed to the Word of God, had he not studied to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, he would not have been able to lead this Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 37, the Bible says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself." This was Jesus, was explaining things to people. And then we see in Luke 24:31. It says that as a result of this, their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. Jesus reveals Himself through the Scriptures. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We as saved people today, we who name Jesus as our Savior, need to be diligent in searching the Scriptures. We also need to be diligent in Christian living. And that's something we don't hear a lot about anymore, about how the Christian is to be separate from this world. I didn't say to be taken out. I didn't say to be so separate that you're of, the old saying, you're of, so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good. I said that Christians need to be separated from the things that cause dishonor and disgrace to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Acts 4:13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." We read about godly men and women who serve God daily. They take a stand for Christian living. They're separated unto God. They have given their lives to the Lord. Now today, you and I need to quit looking to the world for the approval of the world. We need to quit concerning ourselves about, well, I wonder what the world thinks of this. I wonder what they think of this down the street. We need to concern ourselves with, thus saith the Lord. What does God say about the way we're living our lives? We need to be diligent in searching the Scriptures. We need to be diligent in Christian living. And we need to be diligent in the stand for the Christian faith. In the book of Jude, now there's only one chapter in the book of Jude, and I've written down in my notes, Jude 1, 3, and 4. But all you need to know today is Jude 3 and 4. It says there, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Timothy 1:3 says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation to doctrine." Many more verses tell us that we are to take a stand for the Christian faith. We are to stand up and give an account as to why we have trusted Jesus, our Lord. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Stand up for the Lord." Well, as Christians, we need to take a stand. We need to be diligent in the stand for the Christian faith. We need to be diligent in the work of teaching. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Many more verses go along with this. It says in 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that thou hast heard among me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Maybe you're not a Sunday school teacher and you don't feel called to be a Sunday school teacher, but you can sure teach that young convert of what's taken place in your life. You can teach that young convert what the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord," how that person is born again and kept saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a teacher, whether you even realize it or not, if you have named Jesus as your Savior. We need to work. We need to be diligent in the work of teaching. And then we need to be diligent in spiritual growth. What do I mean by that? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." We need to be diligent today in spiritual growth. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get in the Word of God and let God lead you. We need to be diligent today in Christian giving. The first thing someone thinks of is this: "Ah, that preacher, all he's thinking about is money. Give us this, give us that." Well, you need to get your heart right with God. You need to understand that the work of God goes forth through the Christians who give to ministries. First of all, I believe that ministry giving is through the local church. The local church is what God has instituted to carry out the work today through the Christians who are in that church. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." 2 Corinthians 8:4 through 7 says, "Praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And they did, not as we hoped." Now notice this, and I want you to understand something today. God doesn't want your money. It's His money to begin with. But God doesn't want your money. He wants you. The rest of that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 4 through 7 says, "But first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." And the verse goes on. The chapter goes on there, 8, 4 through 7. You can read that later. But God wants you. He wants you to dedicate your life to Him. He wants you to live for Him today. He wants you to be diligent in Christian giving. And He wants you to be diligent in waiting for Him. We need to be diligent in waiting for our Lord to return. 2 Peter 3:3 through 4 says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, saying, Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." 2 Timothy 4:8 says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness," listen to this now, "which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also that love His appearing." We need to live for the Lord today. We need to be diligent in waiting for our Lord. Do you know Him today as your Savior? Right where you're at, bow your head and ask Him to come into your heart. He'll save you today because He is the Savior. May the Lord bless you richly is my prayer until this same time next week when you'll hear me say, "It is a good life."